Sing, I was buried.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
Come on, you call my name.
You call my name. Shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
That is our truth, that we have been rescued from our sin, that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've been raised from death to life, and you are walking into eternity with Him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity today to start your relationship with Him. Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else today, won't you find someone around you and say hello to them. All right, you can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believer's baptism.
People cheering you on.
Well, good morning, church family. If you can't tell, we had Freedom Weekend. Thank you for your faithfulness to pray and for this generation and all that God did. This is a testimony to the work of God, and this morning we get to celebrate 17 being baptized, 16 students and a dad. This dad saw the faith of his daughter and said, I need to get baptized. And so we're celebrating that today. And church family, we're celebrating the 75 decisions here at Plano with salvations, recommitments, baptisms, and even called to ministry. My very own son answered that call to ministry last night. And so I'm fired up. God's been faithful, and so we get to celebrate these who are coming forward for believers' baptism. And this is Garrick Ambrose.
And this is Sarah Harriman.
And this is Reagan Vorster.
Because of your public profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you. This is Ms. Harper Griffin.
And this is Madeline Wozdeck.
And this is Santiago Zechman.
Because of your public professions of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Emily Chin.
This is Jane Paul.
This is Luke DeWall.
Because of your public professions of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is McKenna Stevens.
This is Ernest Xavier Sanchez.
Because of your public profession in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Annabelle Faber.
This is Brianna Ima.
And this is Cutter Likens.
Because of your public profession in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Olivia Hester.
And this is Jacob Manis.
Because of your public professions of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear with Christ in likeness of his death. Raised to walk in newness of life.
Man, how awesome is that? It's such a great way to start our Sunday. Welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad you're here. I know, they're right behind me. Give me just a minute. All right, contain yourself. Contain yourself. For those that are joining us online, we know there are thousands of people joining us every single week across the country and across the world. Welcome, you are part of our family today. And for those of you who are in the room, this is your very first time here, you're a part of our family today as well. We would love to connect with you and answer any questions you may have about our church. The best way to do that is take your phone and text the word CONNECT to 74788. We also want to give you a gift. So right after this service, whenever you head out those doors and into the atrium, you'll see a table with a banner that says Guest Central. Just stop there and tell them, this is my first Sunday here, and we will get you taken care of. Here at Prestonwood, if you're new, we worship in many different ways every single week. We worship through the teaching of God's Word, through baptism, through prayer, through community, through giving. And one of my favorite ways to worship is through music and singing. And in two weeks from tonight, we're going to have a night of worship right down the hallway in our student ministry building. We would love for you to come, bring your family, bring your friends. We're going to have a time of singing and prayer and reflecting together. And speaking of music and speaking of singing, I'm pumped today to welcome our guest worship leaders. They don't need any introduction. I could stand up here forever and list to you the awards and the hits and the accolades and all of those things. But most excitedly, tonight, we get to premiere their brand new movie, Unsung Hero, which is a biopic about their life and their family, their journey from Australia to the USA. So without further ado, would you stand up and would you put your hands together for King and Country?
Top of the morning, Preston Wood. Sing along if you know. If you're with us this morning, let me hear you give a cheer. I'm loving like a master. Give when it's not fair. Live a life for another. Take time for another. Fight for the weak ones. Speak out for freedom. Find faith in the battle. Stand tall.
and love like you're not scared. Give when it's not fair. Give life for another. Take time for a brother. Fight for the weak ones. Speak out for freedom. Find faith in the battle. Stand tall and above it all. Here we go. Fix my
How are we feeling this morning? We have got up in the balcony. How my disciple now is down front. Jack, thank you for having us. It is an honor to be part of your services this morning. We are for King Country. I'm Joel. This is my little big brother, Luke. We are originally from the land down under, but we live in Nashville, Tennessee now, y'all. Can I get a yee-haw? You never thought you'd be saying that on a Sunday morning. This song, next song, has a 100-piece choir in the recording, and as you can see, there's no choir today. Or is there? So ladies first, sing this. Sing joy, joy. Sing joy,
joy.
Fellas, with me. Joy,
joy.
One more time. Joy. All together, choir, sing
joy.
One last time. We'll wait for it. How'd you feel, Luke? How'd you feel?
Lovely, lovely.
All right, this song has a very simple, straightforward, slightly peculiar, unexpected title. It's called Joy.
Watching the nightly news, can't seem to find the rhythm. Just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. Feels like it's never gonna. I gotta get that fire, fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So somebody please pass the megaphone. I shout it on the count of three.
Shout it out.
Saying to the sky, give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify. Oh, to my prayer tonight, cause this is do or die. The time has come to make a choice, and I choose.
Let it move, yeah. Let it move, that's right. Let it move, yeah. Yeah, I choose.
Speed of light feels like the cycle never stops. Feels like it's never gonna
Got a kid that fire back in my bones. You can move if you like. Before my heart turns into stone. So will somebody please pass the megaphone? I shout it on the count of three. Let me hear it. Lost in my prayer tonight, I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify. Lost in my prayer tonight, cause this is do or die. The time has come to make a choice, and I choose. Sunday school, I need the joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
Sing it out.
I need the joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
Sing it out.
I need the joy. That's right, come on.
D-Lo the Latino on the piano. Dallas, can you feel it? Can you feel the spirit? Dallas, can you feel it? Then shout it out. Yeah, I'd shoot. Won't you let it move? A cheer. Amen. Truth is, we need joy in the highs and the lows for facing love or loss. I encourage you just to take a moment to pause this morning, to be here, to be now, to recognize that where two or more are gathered, God is in our midst.
Wide awake while the world is sound asleep, and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody sees you. Nobody will believe you. Every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories they somehow never leave. Nobody sees you. Nobody would believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through.
God only knows
what they say about you.
God only knows.
There's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
You keep a cover over every single secret. So afraid someone saw them, they would leave.
But somebody sees you. Somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing.
Let me hear you.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows the real you. But there's a kind of love that.
ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over, we could start over, we could start over. No,
for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over, we could start over, we could start over.
There's a kind of love that can only lose.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows the real you. No, there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows the real you. Well, there's a kind of love that God only knows. There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love. There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
God only knows where to find you. God only knows how to break through. God only knows the real you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
And we haven't fun yet. Come on. Wow. Hey, guys, come on up here. Thanks for bringing your band, yourselves. We love you guys. I'm just telling you, their spirit, their attitude. You know, we have a lot of guests here at Prestonwood, and I just want to thank you for coming and just serving the church today. I know you love God's church and God's people, and we got a whole lot. Now, you know, the big thing about the brothers, I just drew a blank, who won the Michigan Wolverines, Harbaughs, there you go, the Harbaughs. When they were little kids, their daddy used to say to them every morning, "Who's got it better than us?" And the answer is nobody. So I'm just saying, Prestonwood students, who's got it better than us, right? That's right, at Prestonwood Church. I mean, who gets to have for king and country at their Disciple Now Freedom Weekend? I mean, that just doesn't happen. This is incredible. Great band. And it's taken everything within me to keep from jumping on one of those drums.
I can get you a mallet if you'd like. Oh, we got one here for you.
Here's the thing. I actually want to preach with one of these. This would be really good. And so the problem is, I was telling the guys, I get the shivers around a bass drum like this because the last time I strapped on a bass drum, I was 15 in Fort Worth, and I was playing the drum, and my pants went right to my ankles at Farrington Field. And so I get a little nervous around a bass drum.
You could redeem the memory.
Huh?
You could redeem the memory.
Redeem it. Let the Holy Spirit move.
No, yes.
No. He wants to heal all of you, Jack.
What are we going to play? Okay. Now let me have some sticks.
I was going around.
He's going to have more fun. Okay, here we go.
Do we have, can you do Wipeout? No.
No, but maybe you can.
Okay, that's good.
There it is.
So,
call it redeemed, Jack. Call it redeemed.
No, I couldn't help myself. Thanks for making a total fool of myself today. So, hey guys, I love you. And here's a big reason why we asked for King and Country to be here today is because we get to host the world premiere of their movie, which is coming out. It's the story of their life and really their parents. It's called Unsung Hero. It's about their mom, their dad, their parents. We're gonna do a trailer here in just a minute. They're gonna come back and sing the title song. But we get to host this tonight, and it's gonna go all over the country. Remember when we hosted the Jesus Revolution movie and God really sparked that? And I know the team is really praying that God will spark this story to help and encourage a lot of people. And it's a wonderful tribute and testimony to how God uses a family and how the family came here from down under. You know, Texas is a lot like Australia, right, mate?
I would agree.
Yeah, go ahead. So, lots of cowboys. But, hey, it's going to be a great evening. Deb and I are coming. It's going to be date night for Deb and me. So, bring a date, bring a friend, but come. It's 5 o'clock this afternoon. Watch the screen. Go ahead and take a seat, relax a minute, and watch the screen.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
How y'all doing?
Are y'all from England?
Australia. Australia. Wish I had an accent.
Dad, I wrote a song. Thought maybe we could ask for an audition.
Oh, that's great, honey. Let's take it one step at a time. Kay tells me you're a promoter. You know someone looking for one. Well, I may know somebody who should be.
She's been given a beautiful voice. It's a miracle.
She's a special one, son. Your family, they're not in the way. They are the way.
There's no food, and we're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help. This is everything we have, and sometimes it's going to grow, and sometimes it will shrink, but it cannot be allowed to disappear. I wonder if he's right. Maybe I'm not meant to sing, or maybe you're not meant to sing other people's songs. It's going to be dangerous and scary, and giving up, giving in, it's not an option. Whatever your dream is, I know you can achieve it.
Please welcome my big sister.
My dream is to be like you. It always has been.
Well, there it is, just a taste. Just a taste of what's going to happen tonight. Guys, I want you to say whatever you want to say about the movie to everyone. And then after they sing the title song, it's beautiful. Get ready. Get your handkerchiefs ready, by the way. It's a beautiful song about their family and their journey. And then Clayton King, who is one of the lead team preachers for our Freedom Weekend here at Prestonwood. Clayton leads Clayton King Ministries, preaches at camps, conferences, invests in young people and their families. He's one of the really superior preachers anywhere. And Clayton, thank you for being here and delivering God's word to our students and to Prestonwood this morning. I want to ask the ushers to come forward. If the ushers will go ahead and get their places, we're going to receive the morning offering. We're going to pass the plates, as always, to encourage everyone to give, whether you give online or one of the giving kiosks or by check or however you give. This is a good way to do it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we pray that you would bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, come on up and tell us about the movie and then sing your song. Yeah.
Well, as you mentioned, this film is very much about moms, or moms, as you say. Moms. How do you say it? You sound like a herd of sheep. It's lovely. It's also a film about the power of family. Luke and I were very young when we moved. It's also a film about the power of church and the church and the local community rallying together. If it weren't for the church, we wouldn't be standing before you this morning. And so we're going to sing a song that shares the same title as the movie. It's a song that we wrote for our mom. And if you are with your mom this morning, I encourage you to reach out and put your arm around her, give her a kiss on the cheek, show her that you love her. Or if you're thinking of your mom, message her. If you've lost your mom, we're mindful of you. If you've lost a little one, we dedicate this to you. We're going to take a seat with you as well, if we could.
Once upon a time, you were 25, walking up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. You blinked twice and you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, but I am sure they'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're our unsung heroes, so I'll sing this song for you.
One camp, I was 21, and I fell in love. Remember how I told you that I'd searched the world, and I found the girl. And oh, how she reminds me of you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero, and I sing this song for you.
For all the times I fell down, you showed me how to stand. And when we crossed the ocean, you were my safe place to land. Been on a thousand stages, but when it's all said and done, I hope I'll make you proud of the man that I've become. To be strong like my father, even when I'm scared. And when someone's in trouble, oh, I'll never leave from there. And I love like my mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're our unsung heroes, and we sing this song for you.
Thank you so much. The film comes out on April 26th, which is our parents' 49th wedding anniversary. So bless you. We look forward to seeing you again then.
That is so emotional. So I got to get it together here myself, and can't wait to join you and for King and Country for the premiere of this movie tonight right here at Prestonwood. And so God bless you guys, and we appreciate you so much. When they were singing God Only Knows, that's one of my favorite. I was wondering where Dolly was, by the way. She joined them in the video for that song, and if you don't believe me, go to YouTube and look it up. But God Only Knows, and I have a title for this message. It's called Hope for the Hopeless, which is a good title, but I thought even a better title for this story of Rahab and the red scarlet thread of redemption that we are going to see in this passage in Joshua 2. Begin finding Joshua chapter 2. That title, God Only Knows. Because Rahab was a woman that had been used and abused by men, and yet God saw her need, and God knew her desire to know him. And out of all the people in a pagan city called Jericho so long ago, he chose this woman of all people. It's a strange place to experience amazing grace. It's the story of Rahab. We need hope, don't we? Our world needs hope. We need hope personally. Someone said that hope is the oxygen of the soul. We cannot live without hope. And that's why so many, unfortunately, today, so sad, are taking their lives today, are suicidal, or think of it so often, because so many have lost hope. It is hope, in particular, God's hope, the hope that Jesus gives us that keeps us going, that when we are knocked down, it calls us to get up again and keep going. This is hope. It's described in the Bible as a blessed hope. And ultimately, our hope is when Christ returns and we will see him face to face. Amen. And hope is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Love Month. Valentine's Day is coming up. And the Bible is God's love letter to us. God's love letter to you. This is God's Valentine, to say, I love you and you and you and you. And God only knows how much he loves you. He really does. And the love is expressed and felt in this hope that we have in him. In our series, our just beginning series in Joshua, we've seen that the children of Israel are poised and prepared now to cross over into the land that God had given them, the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. An entire generation has died out, and now a new generation is ready to take what God had given them. Go and take it. And so they are ready for the fulfillment of this promise. And remember, these great Old Testament stories, epic stories, and there are many of them right in the book of Joshua. When the walls fall down, when the sun stands still, miracles of might and glory and power that take place, we see it. And why do we have the Old Testament? Why do we have this in our Bible as New Testament believers and followers of Jesus? Because according to Romans chapter 14, for whatever was written in former days, the olden days, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. And then in that same Romans chapter 15, verse 13, one of my favorite verses, may the God of hope fill you with all hope in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would overflow with hope. Amen. We live and breathe in this hope that we have in Christ. And this story that we have in front of us today is a story of hope. In the New Testament, you hear the word grace a lot. Grace is God's unmerited, unmitigated favor towards us, undeserved favor, the gift of God. That's grace. And is primarily a New Testament word, though a form of it shows up in the Old Testament. The primary Old Testament word is mercy. Mercy. And in Jesus, we now have both grace, that is, God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy. He does not give us what we do deserve. Amen. And in the mercy of God, and because of the grace of God, we find this hope every day. His mercies are new every single morning. But you do see it again and again and again in the scriptures, and in particular the Old Testament, this theme of mercy. So after 40 days of wandering and waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, the children of Israel are ready to cross over into Canaan, the promised land. And remember, for us, Canaan, the promised land, our Canaan, that we're to conquer every day in Jesus' name because he has won the victory, our Canaan is the victorious Christian life. We are living in this victory, and God has given us a promise. So the promised land for you and me is the promised life. We live a promised life. But there's one problem for the children of Israel, and that is Jericho. Jericho was a walled city in the ancient world. In fact, you can visit Jericho, as I have on numerous occasions, this very day. And you can see the remains of ancient Jericho. And the archaeologists have dug deep there in this ancient city. And indeed, they have found the mighty walls of Jericho. And about, well, two walls really circling the city, about 15 feet thick each one. So 30 feet thick walls. Each one of them, in effect, saying, this wall saying, keep out. This was a fortified city. And these walls were mammoth. And by the way, not by the way, it's very important. One of the evidences for the Bible is that when these walls fell, the archaeologists tell us that indeed something happened cataclysmic that caused these walls to fall down. And we know what happened when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. Amen. And we'll get to that great story. But first, this story of redemption and salvation. And as the children of Israel are waiting and wanting to go in, God leads General Joshua to send two spies into enemy territory to gather intelligence. That's what a good general does. A good army gets good intelligence. And so two brave men, spies. You know, Israel has a reputation for a great spy and espionage system. Today it's called the Mossad. And the Mossad is among the greatest intelligence forces in the world. And so it started early for the Israelis. And these two spies go into the city of Jericho. Let's pick up the reading in chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Someone spied the spies. And then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out these men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said to them, you know, there are great stories in history about brave people hiding Jewish people. Corrie ten Boom is one of them. There's a brand new story, I understand, film or television series on one of the platforms called A Small Light that has to do with a woman hiding Anne Frank, as a matter of fact. So this has gone on for a long time. And this woman, Rahab, she hides these men. Verse 5, well, let's go to verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them and said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Now, some people want to get all worked up about Rahab telling a lie here. Well, remember, she was a harlot. Don't get all worked up 3,000 years later about whether she should have lied or not. So she didn't tell the truth. She said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, in fact, they left. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, verse 5, the men went out, and I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Go. Now, all the time, these two spies are hidden out at her house. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Now, before we go any further in this story about Rahab, I want to say a word about these two unlikely, unsung, unnamed heroes. We don't have the names of these two men. They're anonymous. They don't even get a small appearance tag. Just two spies, two brave men who went into the city of Jericho, and they found this house where apparently, you would imagine, men were coming and going. I mean, I asked myself when I read this the first time, were these men going to the house of a prostitute for sex? No, they were going to spy. And one of the ways that they could hide was in a place where many people knew, and a lot of men were coming in and out. I don't know how or why, but in the providence of God, they came to this house of the prostitute Rahab. I love the stories of unsung, unheralded, unnamed heroes. People you may not know about. The Super Bowl's coming up, and you've probably heard the name of Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Mahomes and, well, Travis Kelce and his celebrity girlfriend. Wow. I mean, Taylor's taking over the Super Bowl, I guess. Now I hear she's thinking about endorsing Joe Biden for president. And I thought to myself, based on all the songs that she's been writing about her breakups, it's not the first time she's picked the wrong man. I will say that. I'm just saying. You know, look, I think the devil may have made me say that. So I don't know. Maybe God. But
praise God.
But we've heard all those names, but who's heard of the name George Toma? One person has ever heard of George Toma. Must be from Kansas City. Not a player, not a coach, not a broadcaster, but a groundskeeper. He started doing groundskeeping as a 13-year-old boy. And he has, since that time, 1942, he's been attending and superintending grounds of sports events, primarily football. And in 1967, he kept the grounds and attended and prepared the grounds for the first Super Bowl, 1967. And he's now, in 2024, attended every Super Bowl and superintended the preparation of the field. That's why he is known, George Toma, as the sod father. Or the god of sod. You've never heard of him, but what an important, he's been honored by the Hall of Fame, so I guess he lost his anonymity a bit, but it's called a pioneer award. So the guy's now in the Hall of Fame. The father of sod. Have you ever heard of Harry Hoosier? This is Black History Month. And it's important to know history. History of the world, certainly history of this country. We're grateful here at Prestonwood Christian Academy, to teach history from a biblical worldview and patriotic history and history as it should be told and written and so on. So history is important, and that includes the history of all people in this nation, and Black History Month is a tribute to many of the heroes of this country, unsung, many of them, unknown, many of these, but they have made history. So it's Black History Month. Harry Hoosier, he was born a slave in 1750. And as he grew, he became the driver of a carriage to a man by the name of Francis Asbury. If you're a Methodist, you probably recognize the name Francis Asbury. Asbury College is named after Francis Asbury. He was a great pulpiteer, a Methodist, one of the original Methodist preachers. He was a part of the second great awakening in America. So young Harry, as he grew up, Harry Hoosier, listening to all that preaching, though he could not read or write, he memorized scripture from just hearing it. And he not only memorized scripture, when he began to speak and preach, he mesmerized people who heard him preach the word of God. He was a great orator. He was noted later on in the New York Times as a great orator, and he became one of the most popular preachers in all of America. Black History Month, you should know this name, Harry Hoosier. He was known as Black Harry. He traveled the frontier. He ended up with a group of followers who were then called, guess what? Hoosiers. You thought Hoosiers were a bunch of white boys in Indiana. No. Some of these could have been white, of course, but that's That's named after Harry Hoosier. If you're a Hoosier, you were a follower of Black Harry. What a great story, how God uses people. You know, I think about these spies, these men who went in behind enemy lines, and I'm reminded that this is what God has called us to do. Amen. Is to go and take risks by faith and do what is necessary in order to advance the kingdom of God in our generation. And it doesn't take great talent or skill or even literacy in the case of Harry Hoosier. But it does take humility, and it does take availability and expendability. Someone said it's not scholarship but relationship with God that God uses. And so God wants us today in our generation, in our culture, in our Canaan, if you will, to get behind those enemy lines and bravely do whatever it takes at even personal risk to do the will of God.
That's right.
I think about the wonderful women and men who work at our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. The last 2 weeks, North Campus and here, we have been remembering Sanctity of Life and our ministry to save lives and to minister to women. And that happens because you have brave souls. You probably don't know their names. But these brave souls who are, in effect, in a culture, going against the grain and doing what is necessary to obey God, to do what God wants them to do. If you've been around a while, you know that one of our pregnancy centers is right across the parking lot for the state of Texas' largest Planned Parenthood abortion provider. We just went right across the parking lot and said, okay, here we are, behind enemy lines, if you will. People aren't the enemy, but Satan is the enemy. And Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we're there to do the will of God. So I love the story of these two men and all who do whatever it takes to accomplish the purposes of God and the providences of God. And that's what's happening here. So the spies sneak into the house of Rahab. Again, amazing grace in an unlikely place, a house of prostitution. Here they meet Rahab. Rahab is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. 6 times when you add the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1. But the 5 times she is mentioned in both Old Testament and New Testament, it always comes with the tag, Rahab the harlot. Now, how would you like to carry that as your ID? Rahab the prostitute. I mean, the Bible doesn't clean it up. Not Rahab the escort. Not Rahab the shady lady. But a strong word for prostitution. Now, Canaan was a very wicked place. And Jericho was a wicked place. I've been to the land of Canaan in Israel and seen the remains of platforms of worship where babies were sacrificed, killed, like in America today through abortion. It was very immoral. The people were idolaters. It was a wicked place. And they refused the grace of God. When you read these Old Testament stories, sometimes you wonder, why so much war? Why did God tell the children of Israel to take these people out? Well, you read in the Bible earlier that God gave Canaan and the people in Canaan, the Canaanite cities, 400 years to repent. 400 years they had an opportunity to repent. But they just went deeper and deeper and deeper into their sin and rebellion and into idolatry. And even when the children of Israel are perched and ready to attack, they could have repented. Even when those children of Israel were walking around those walls and waiting to blow those trumpets and take the city, they could have all repented and been saved, but no. And yet in the midst of this wickedness, there is a prostitute in this vile and wicked place who herself no doubt was a part of a false religion and idolatry and all that came with it. Prostitution. A sexualized culture. Sounds pretty familiar. You know, it's said that prostitution is the world's oldest profession. It's been around for thousands of years, of course, as immorality has. I've already read several articles about what's going to be happening this week at the Super Bowl in Vegas. And all the prostitution and all the gambling, and with all that comes trafficking. Men who traffic in the souls of women and men. Sexual trafficking is a terrible, terrible thing, as is prostitution, because it uses and abuses. This woman is selling her body. She never intended, I'm sure, as a little girl to end up a prostitute, her life wasted and wanton. And yet here she is. Sexual sin is enslaving. Pornography, also a form of prostitution. Billions and billions of dollars spent. Now, God made sex as a sacred gift to his creation, but Satan twists and perverts it. Sex is not, should not be cheap or casual or corrupt. God has given us this gift of intimacy. And the mark of a Christian, once your life is transformed by Jesus Christ, once you experience the grace and the mercy of God in your life, one of your number one desires is purity. Amen. And holiness, to pursue holiness in the fear of God. I'm so grateful this week is weekend is Freedom Weekend here at Prestonwood. And in the next service, it's going to be lit in the next service, because we're going to have about 600-700 high schooler and junior high in here with King and Country. It's going to be wild. You were pretty wild yourself, by the way. But I'm so proud of our student ministry, because, you know, you would think on a student weekend, a lot of hype and jump, you know, just, and it would be light and a bunch of pizza and game. No, this is fun. I told the kids last night, I said, we want you to have fun, but our student ministry is leading them. The theme of the weekend is holiness. Holiness. To challenge our kids to purity and holiness in their lives. So sexual sin and fornication and whoring and whoremongering and all the rest, that's never to be a part of the Christian's life. Rahab was far from pure. In a human sense, there was nothing holy about her. She was a pagan, profligate prostitute. And yet the message of this story is that by faith, and you see her showing up in Hebrews chapter 11. If you know your way around your Bible, in the New Testament, there's a book called Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the story of the people of faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, how these believe God. And you have great people in there. You got Abraham in there, and you've got King David, and you've got Moses, and you got all these great names and personalities. And right in the middle of it, 11:32, comes this woman. By faith, Rahab the harlot. Amen. Because you see, God loves everyone. And his mercy and love extends to all of us. There was nothing good about this woman. And hey, are you listening to me? There's nothing good about you. There's none that doeth good. The book of Romans chapter 1 says, not one, none, no one does good. Even our goodness is badness in the face of a holy God. Filthy rags. And the worst form of badness, I could say, is human goodness that substitutes itself from our need of God. Self-righteousness is also a great sin. There's hope because God gives love and mercy to guilty sinners, grace to guilty sinners. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Hello. grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen.
Rahab's testimony is that by faith, she believed, she had heard. I wish I had a little more time to tell you this story, but she had heard of the mighty miracles of God that had taken place at the Red Sea. She had heard something. She knew a little bit about the Israelites. The word had passed. And can I tell you, the greatest evidence for the Christian faith is for you and me who have experienced the miracle power of Jesus Christ, His cross, His resurrection. When people hear of us, pagan people, ungodly, unchurched, unsaved, when they hear of our faith, when they hear of our God who has done miracles in our lives, just like Rahab had heard what had happened in the lives of those Israelites, she knew that there was a God in Israel, and she wanted to get on God's side.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So though her faith was infantile in many ways, it was so small, and yet she believed, and it was accounted unto her as righteousness. And so listen to her testimony in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says, she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the fear of you has fallen upon us." See, she begins with the fear of the Lord. She knew that she, along with her citizenship, they were all doomed and damned by the judgment of God. And yes, there is a judgment coming. God is not mocked. And there's a judgment coming to America if we do not repent and respond to faith in Christ. So she had heard, she said in verse 10, "We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." I mean, that was a wipeout in itself. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord," she uses the holy name of God, "the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's house." These two spies were courageous, but they were also kind. And she was kind towards them, and therefore they were kind towards her. She said, "Give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And then when you read on in the scriptures, you discover in verses 11 through 15 that the soldiers, or rather the spies, yes, they were soldier spies, told her to take a rope, a red rope, a scarlet thread, a crimson cord, and to hang it in the window of her house. Her house apparently was on the wall itself. Hang it on the wall, hang it out the window. Probably was the same rope by which these men escaped into the night. But he said, "When you hang this red rope there, when we come and take the city, and in the fury and the fire of the war that's about to take place, we'll see the red rope, and we will spare everyone in this house, you and your family." Wow. A red rope of hope. And you know what that scarlet thread should remind us all about? It is the red rope of hope that runs throughout all of Scripture. It's representative of the scarlet thread in the Bible, the blood redemption and remission of sin that is the story of the Bible. I've said many times, cut the Bible any place and it will bleed. It is a bloody book filled with blood. And all that blood started in the Garden of Eden when man sinned against God. The man and the woman rebelled against God, and they killed an animal to cover their sin and their shame. And the blood began to flow because of sin. And a promise was given of one who would come and redeem them with his blood. Blood began to flow in the earth, and Cain killed Abel, and Adam and Eve began to realize the consequences of sin, which is death. And then came the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. How did they go out of Egypt? By putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their house. They went out under the blood. It's the story of the redemption and salvation of all who come under the blood. And you get to the book of Leviticus and you read through all of that and you're wondering, what is all this blood about? All this sacrifice and all this killing of the animals. You see, God was conditioning the world to this truth, recording in Hebrews 9:22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so the blood began, kept flowing through the Bible. You find it in Isaiah, the Lamb of God who took on himself our death and our hell and judgment. The blood flows to the banks of Jordan when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The blood flowed to Calvary when Jesus laid down his life on the cross and the blood of redemption flowed and Jesus died for you and me. It flowed on through into the book of Revelation and even into heaven as the people are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, for we are redeemed by his blood." It is this scarlet thread of redemption in a little cord, a rope of hope that was hung in Rahab the harlot's window that speaks to us this very day. If you go into our atrium and you look at all the books of the Bible that are named, all 66 books of them, if you look in even to our stained glass window with the cross and the crown, do you see a scarlet thread running there? That's the scarlet thread of the Bible. Go to the atrium, look, teach it to your children. That all through the Bible, it's the story of redemption, the story of salvation, the scarlet thread of redemption, remission, and forgiveness. And this woman, I've got to close, but this woman, hear me now, she found favor, grace in the eyes of the Lord, mercy. She found freedom. She was set through free from the power of her sin. She ends up getting married, and tradition tells us that she married one of the spies. She got married, and they had a son. And then she had a grandson, and then she had a great-great-grandson whose name was David, King of Israel. Amen. The son of David is Jesus our Lord. So God gave this prostitute, this shady lady, this wicked woman, like you and me, favor and freedom transformed her life, and forgiveness, and a future, and a hope. And we have a future and a hope in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that's why when Rahab shows up in the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew 1, you know what God can do in your life. You say, "Well, I'm not a prostitute. I'm not even immoral. I'm really kind of a moral person. I'm a good person." Jesus told the unsaved Pharisees, he said, "The prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to go to heaven before you will ever get there." Because if you know that you've sinned, as we've all sinned and broken God's commandment, then you fall on the mercy and the grace of God. You come to the blood. There's no redemption. There's no salvation apart from the scarlet thread, the Savior. Did you know, I just heard this. I hope it's true because I just read it. You know, it's got to be true. I read it on the internet. No, I think it is true. You can take brown sugar, colored sugar, brown sugar, and pour blood on it, and it will bleach it and turn it to white. I don't know, go home, have your kids try it. I do know this. Here's what I do know. Man's blood stains everything. I was bleeding the other day and stained my shirt. Man's blood stains everything. But God's blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, bleaches everything. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow." They shall be as wool. And so this is Rahab's story, and it can be your story, regardless of your morality or immorality. Your life can be changed.
That's right.
I'm telling you, nobody's got it better than us. Jim Harbaugh and Jim, they champion coaches. Their daddy, you might have heard this, is Jim and the Wolverines of Michigan were winning the national championship. John, his team, was in the NFC championship game. So this story came out that Jack would gather his family often. He was a coach on a coach's salary, didn't make a lot of money, but he was so positive always. And the kids might be having a bad day, didn't want to go to school. He'd say, "Hey, kids, who's got it better than us?" And the kids would go, "Nobody." And then he would say, "Then go out and attack this world with an enthusiasm unknown to man." No wonder those kids turned out so well. So I'm saying, church, who's got it better than us? Because we have been saved. We have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We have been changed. We have been transformed. We are filled with hope. We are on our way to heaven. We have life. We have love. We have families that love Jesus. Nobody has it better than us. Amen. Let's stand together. Come on. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads with me in prayer, and I'm going to give you an invitation. Here's the thing about Rahab. She hung that scarlet rope of hope, that red rope, in the window. She didn't put it into the closet where nobody could see it. She went public at personal risk. She could have been executed had she been found out. But she hung that rope right in the window, and it ended up, her confession, her declaration, her obedience ended up saving her and her whole family. So I'm going to ask you to go public with your faith today. Don't keep your faith in a closet. Come to Jesus and openly, publicly follow him. We're going to give you the opportunity upstairs and downstairs. And on this lower level, our ministers are here. Upstairs, they're right here online. There's a number. 74788, you can text Jesus, and we're standing by to connect with you and to encourage you in your faith. If you want to come to faith in Jesus, what made the difference in Rahab's life? The blood of Jesus. She was saved. We're saved by looking back to what Christ has done, his blood. She was saved by faith looking forward to what Christ would do. She believed the promise as we have believed the promise. Are you under the blood? Do you know that you're saved? You say, "Well, I go to church. I'm a Baptist. I'm a deacon. You might even be a preacher or a missionary. But are you saved? Are you under the blood of Jesus Christ? Because I'm telling you, judgment is coming, and the judgment will be sure to this world without God, without hope. But if you have your faith, you can be born again into a living hope in Jesus Christ. So hang the scarlet thread today and come forward and make your faith public. Just tell one of the ministers, I'm giving my life to follow Jesus today. I'm a believer. I want to believe and trust in Christ." There are others, you believe you want to belong to Prestonwood. Why don't you come and get with us and get on mission with us to take this message of hope to the world. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.